Ladies and gentlemen, please, lock your doors, pull your curtains and douse your lights. Come, drop to the fire, as we go live to the Sturo embers of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
In case you haven't heard, the world is going to end in 2012.
a priest, a rabbi, and a minister walk into a bar that...
Call me Whiskers!
It's almost inconceivable how much damage this event will cause.
Johnny Bravo!
Look at it.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
I'm interested!
It's the freakiest looking thing I've ever seen.
So?
Sex, and this was the result. It's a tube-nosed fruit bat.
It's been a Demon Hunter show!
My god, man, this is just an incredible looking creature.
The end is near! We are all gonna die!
We ain't backing down.
Live from the G&D studios, inspiring future generations of ghost hunters to think for themselves, the original bad boys of the paranormal, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes, we aren't backing down. You're not backing down. Everybody's happy to be here. Welcome back, everybody. What's sure to be another great episode of your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Hello, hello.
You're always so inspiring, Sean, the way you let everybody know it's going to be a great show. Even before we know whether it's going to be a great show, you let them know it's going to be a great show, and everybody appreciates that.
Optimism, little brother, optimism. You got to stay
Optic, yes, yes. Now you're an eye doctor, too.
I am. Thank you. I wish I made eye doctor money, actually. Guys, welcome back. Hope everybody's having a killer weekend. We are back live in studio. I think it's going to be a hot show because the temperature I took, I feel like I'm at about 130 right now, the degrees Fahrenheit. I believe I have the stomach bug.
Poor Sean. Always something to complain about.
I know. I'm sick. Sure it'll be perfect just in time to go back to work tomorrow morning. So
this is the things I hear from Sean. I'm sick. Oh, I had a vasectomy. Yes. Oh, I had, you know, lots of reasons to try and not do the show. I know how it is.
I got a block of ice on my wee-wee. That's what happens. You can beep that out later. I guess we decided we could say a lot of cuss words on the last show.
And then we bleeped really them out.
Then we bleeped them out, yeah. Guess we should have read that fine print. Oh, well, man, what are you going to do? Anyway, guys, welcome back to the studio. We were trying to get video up and going for you this week. Nathan was nuts running all over the place, and I have my own stuff going. I did get we've opened up a can of worms, it would seem.
Making promises to people we didn't know how hard they were going to be to keep, you know?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Plus, I got to add, I am at my 13th day chewing tobacco free. Thank you. Yes, and I have a ginormous bag. Yes, I have a ginormous bag of sunflower seeds and right next to me. So I've been chomping on sunflower seeds. So now, instead of dying of mouth cancer, I'm pretty sure the salt from the seeds are eating through my bone.
Now, do you swallow the shells?
I do not. I can't. And sometimes I'll chew them up.
See, I always swallowed the shells. And usually about the third day that I was into a sunflower kick, there'd be so much fiber in my system that I'd be blocking up the toilet, you know. It's
That's good. That's good.
Good our radio. Good radio. Yes, our listeners love to know those things about us. Yes.
It is true. But man, I had a great weekend. Is there anything about your weekend you want to cover first?
You know, I can't talk about my weekend. I was out doing some work with the New Jersey Ghost Hunters, and it's all on a hush-hush level, but great team. It was so great to get out there and work with them. And I understand the results and everything will be out in a few months, and then I'll be able to talk about it. So that'll be fun.
Well, how fortunate for the New Jersey Ghost Hunters.
Quit with your dinghy.
Yes.
You know, they kept saying that too. I was like, it's my equipment. You told me to learn how to use my equipment. And right.
I learned a long time ago. And I keep practicing up and up. But anyway, had a great weekend. Went out with Scary Jerry and got sick. But we went to Indiana's largest, one of its largest and most historically haunted cemeteries, Crown Hill Cemetery. It's not known as much for its haunting as it is, you know, its history, with the famous people there, of course, Hoosier legend, author, poet, James Whitcomb Riley is buried there on one of the highest points in Indianapolis.
You actually took me there when I went out.
I did. See you, so yeah. I went out there and got to videotape a little bit and took some pictures. And just amazing, man. Like, every time I go out there, I tell you, it takes me back to why I got into ghost hunting.
Or I get you. I got you there. Now, I got to ask you. I was out, I forgot to ask this of any of the New Jersey ghost hunters when I was out there, and I guess I can contact some people and find out. But they were using high-definition video recorders, but they had infrared cameras. And I have not seen any high-definition infrared video cameras out there. And so if anybody out there like knows where to find them, please let me know, because man, these were great tools, you know, absolutely great tools. And you use the Melmeter, don't you, Sean?
I have, yes. Our good friend Gary Galka from DAS Distributions got me a Melmeter. I purchased one from him, and it's a beautiful device. It's an EMF meter, thermal gauge, everything wrapped into one. So
yeah, I guess he's added like new bells and whistles to them too. There's even new stuff on them. So I've never used one before.
And yeah, he's changing all kinds, man. So
I've never really been like, Sean will tell you, I am not the tech guy in the group. If you need a bit of history or you need to know something about the occult, I'm the guy to come to. But when there's tech, I go to Sean. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I got a crash course.
You're so freaking bad.
Yes, yes. You're such a lovely man, Sean. Lovely man.
Ooh.
I got a crash course in using these instruments. And I'll tell you that it really... You know, I've always been that guy who said you can't be everything on an investigation. You got those guys who come out and they want to do everything. They want to be the guy who, works the equipment and asks the questions of the spirits and does all the recording and all this and all that. You know, guys like Sean.
Are you kidding me? I want to be the guy in the back that you don't even know is there.
It's one of those really great things when, you know, you have different people in your group who all handle stuff, because then you don't have to know everything. And that's a really good thing. But it was also really nice to get to learn how to use this equipment. So I was really happy to be out there.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, I haven't been able to go out in the field for quite some time because, as you know, doing the radio show, unless a ghost actually comes in studio, we don't really get much contact with ghosts.
Speaking of which, if anybody does know a ghost that wants to do an interview... We're there. Well, I'll travel to get the interview from the ghost.
We'll do it. We've had ghosts on our show before. Not confirmed. I should say that.
They never stay long.
They don't stay long. They usually have to say something, and it could be audio waves and everything mixing together, you know. Let's just say it was ghosts.
Let's say it was ghosts. But, you know, they must have really good agents because they only stick around for one or two words.
I was watching a show the other day, and I'm not going to mention any names, but it was funny because these gentlemen were in a place, and they were, you know, they had on the RT device, which the RT device allows you to hear what's going on
right in
real time. So you don't have to take your EVP home, guys, and you don't have to download your recorder, go through 5 hours. You actually hear what's going on and delete it as you go if there's nothing going on. So, you know, you would ask a question, hey, do you hate me? And then you'd wait for a response, and hopefully you'll get, yes, I do. And, you know, you can go on from there. But the thing about it was that they were doing that, and they heard something go, shh, boom, one time. And it sounded, they said something like, could this be the sound of the man dragging his foot through the the hallway, and I'm just looking at all the pieces of drywall laying up against the walls, and how they were when they first came in, the piece of drywall fell. And anybody that's done any kind of remodeling knows the sound of a piece of drywall slipping off another piece of drywall, and right. It sounds like this. Boom. Boom. That's
well,
what it sounds
like. Then again, Sean, how many times have you and I gotten EVPs where we thought for sure that we heard something growling and then realized it was one of our stomachs?
So... never have we.
No, never that.
Never have. But no, usually we call it out. My stomach.
Yeah.
Because I got the loudest stomach in the bunch, usually. It doesn't fire up until we do EVP.
Especially when we were down in New Mexico and all there was to eat was Mexican food and Texas barbecue. I mean, that was tough. We hurt your belly on that one.
But the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show live field reporting has begun, guys. We haven't got the video up and running yet. We're a little ahead of ourselves. But once it is up, it's going to knock out the competition because we're going to bring you heat every Sunday like we do now. I was actually out in the field today, Nate. We were trying to uncover this story. There was a huge, huge Civil War prison camp here in Indianapolis. It actually started out as a Union training camp, and it turned into a federal Confederate prison camp. 1,616 Confederates died and were buried on these campgrounds. Whatever bodies they could find were moved, and whatever bodies they couldn't were apparently left there. It was called Camp Morton. Camp Morton, M-O-R-T-A-N, in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's now a park. So Scary Jerry and myself went out there, and we seen it. They have a big rock that they put out there from like 1912 or 1920, and they just commemorated the spot, you know, for all the soldiers that had died there. Basically, a guy wrote a book on it. I'm looking up the book right now. It's been, I wouldn't say hidden by the city of Indianapolis, but it's one of those things that I'm starting to find pieces of it everywhere. Like, you know, 20 miles from where the actual camp was, there's a monument where there's absolutely nobody sitting in a park that's dedicated to those Confederate soldiers that died here in Indianapolis. And it says right on the monument, to those soldiers whose bodies could not be found, basically, we're sorry. Oops. So it's it was kind of cool. So I got pictures of that documented. I got it on film. And what we want to do, guys, is when we go video, we're going to do G&D show live reports, and we're going to try to play clips of them for you throughout our show. So that's going to be one of our topic stories to start off our season of video. The season of the witch.
The season of the witch. Hey, quick thing before we go on. Tonight's guest, Sean, Christy Peterson Schoonover. That's a tough name to say. We'll be coming on to talk about her newest book, Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Haunted Tales from Disney World. Haunted Tales from Disney World. And also she'll be talking about a few other projects she's got in the make.
Yeah.
And all that fun stuff. And if any of you have not heard Chrissy P before on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, she also does our Dead Letters, which is our ghost fiction and haunted fiction segment. But, we'll be talking to Chrissy P a little later tonight. And when she comes on, we'll be giving that final clue for our friends over at Paranormal A, who are giving away a copy of her book. Paranormal A? I was trying to describe Paranormal A to somebody this week, and finally, until I looked at him and said, you know, Paranormal A? Eh? And of course, then everybody broke up laughing. Oh, I get it. And but so it's
it sounds like when you tell a joke. Oh yeah, yes. I get it.
Yay! Thank you, Sean.
That's it. But hopefully, guys, this week we can get the video figured out somehow and get this up. And it's going to start off rough and dirty. But if you bear with us like you have for over 4 years now, we promise you, it'll smack you every Sunday night, because we're going to try to bring it to you hot and real every Sunday, live from the Paranormal Studio.
You know what, Sean? We should get our friend Doug Semick to come on for our first video show, because then we can totally reenact the first show the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show ever did.
I don't think we want to reenact that.
I don't think we could do that poorly ever again.
I don't think we could reenact that. That was, I think we could. I mean, we could try. We could really could try. We look that, anyway, huh?
Could we look that nervous? When you'd have to sit on a box while you were doing the show because you had no furniture at the time.
Yeah, I did, man. I didn't. I was in the process of moving out of my home, so it was crazy. Anyway, guys, if we don't have any more pressing matters to discuss.
Well, fine. Be that way about it.
G&D show in the news, live from the G&D vault. Fresh from the G&D vault, not live, actually. Fresh out of the Ghostman Demon Hunter show vault, we have news stories this week. I want that little sound, you know, the report sound. When we go video, I want...
I think that's copyrighted.
Imagine with us, guys, when we go video. Right now, you'd be seeing a picture of this person. I can't tell you who it is yet. I'll tell you. You'll be seeing a big picture of Charlie Manson hit the screen right now when we're video. And the title is Manson... You guys are going to vomit when you hear this. Manson is healing the sick in prison. That's right, folks. Manson is healing the sick in prison. Corcoran, California, Charles Manson, the deranged instigator of the 1969 Tatla Bianca murders, has turned his life over to God and is now performing miracles, healing in prison. That's the incredible story being told by inmates and guards at California's state prison, where Manson is serving his life sentence. Pedro Franks, a 38-year-old San Diego freelance journalist, was told by his girlfriend, who works as a guard in the prison, that Manson underwent a profound change back in August of last year. He always used to be crazy and agitated and spoke semi-coherently at best, but all of a sudden he was talking to other inmates in a totally understandable manner. Just as amazing, the swastika that Manson had carved into his forehead years ago had completely disappeared.
Ooh.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
It's called scar tissue. He previously kept mainly to himself, but now Manson was friendly and warm with fellow prisoners and even the guards. Everyone was totally shocked when asked what prompted the change. Manson said he'd been visited by the Lord in his dreams.
He didn't say the Lord of what, though, did he?
Yeah, the Dark Lord, apparently. The three nights. He's seen him for three nights, Manson did. He said that after the third dream, God healed him of his hatred and blessed him with the power to heal others, everybody. There you go. Charles Manson.
I hope for Mr. Manson's sake it's true and that he's been healed, but
yes.
Damn, I just have this weird feeling that he's up for parole.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's probably got his master's degree by now. I mean, he's been in prison for 40 years.
Oh, several. He's got doctorates, I'm sure.
Right, you're right. And we do pay for that, so you're welcome, Charlie. You know, at least you can do is heal people. God. Yeah, I can't believe these people, man. How comes it takes going to prison to get religious? You know what I mean? I mean, everybody, I guess there's no atheist in foxholes is what they say. So
I suppose so.
Huh?
I don't even know where to go with it, man. You've stumped me on that one. Usually I have some quick retort or something, but no, I'm totally, I am agog, I am aghast.
Come on, hit me with your retort.
Don't be retorted. And just,
Retort. Hey, JFK's death list on the block. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
John F. Kennedy, of course. A list of suspects in the greatest whodunit of the 20th century, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, was recently auctioned off. The handwritten note was scribbled down by JFK's secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, as she flew home from Dallas on Air Force One hours after shots rang out over Daley Plaza. Lincoln was the ultimate insider in the Kennedy White House, having worked for JFK from 1953 until his death in November 22, 1963. Her list of prime suspects for the slaying reads like a who's who of international intrigue. Mm-hmm. They include Vice President. Now, these are the people that could have done it.
Okay.
Vice President Lyndon Johnson, the Texan who replaced JFK in office.
Ooh. Okay.
I would doubt that since he was running for his life afterwards. Richard Nixon, the Republican contender JFK had beaten in a close race. The Ku Klux, I don't even want to say their name, the idiots fiercely opposed to JFK's civil rights stance.
Okay.
And the CIA director, John McCone, the communist hunter behind America's secret war in Los, L-A-O-S. There you go.
Los, yeah.
Jimmy Hoffa, the Teamsters boss linked to organized crime. some South Vietnam president at the time. I'm not even going to try to say. It's like,
you know what?
It's like,
I know we never drink on the show, and even if we did, we wouldn't say it. But we do promote that whenever anybody like hears us mispronounce a word, take a drink, but don't drive. But Sean doesn't want you to get that drunk if he reads that name, because every syllable you're going to have to take a sip.
There you go. So anyway, there's no end to the list of suspected conspirators to President Kennedy's murder. Reads the note Lincoln jotted back the list of 20 years later when she passed her papers on to Kennedy collector Robert White. Many factions had their reasons for wanting the young president dead. There you go. They auctioned off the list. So if I come up dead and you make a list of people that might have killed me, which would be one of our listeners, you could probably auction it off. I don't know.
I'm just selling the movie rights outright and collecting all the fees. And
yes, that will be a Hollywood blockbuster, I'm sure.
The ghost of the ghost man.
I'm not coming back, dude. I'm gonna like.
Not coming back. I intend to take a long rest when my time comes.
I'm gonna lay on a cloud. I will not take out the garbage, and I will not fix a sink or anything. Oh, that's another thing.
You may actually get to learn how to play one of those musical instruments you buy.
Yeah, I know. I'm working on the mandolin now. I got two songs down. Hey, I was going to tell you, I had to fix the ghost fan sink this weekend. If anybody needs plumbing repairs in the studio, I got into the dishwasher because we fired up the dishwasher and there was a huge puddle of water, burning hot water, because, you know, the hot water is the only thing hooked up to the dishwasher, underneath the dishwasher. So I had to get up underneath there. Coupling had went bad and I had to blah, 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 had to fix that. So when I go up underneath there, I go to turn off the hot water valve to hit the supply, and water starts splashing out everywhere, scalding hot water. So the gasket blew there, and I had to replace, not the gasket, but I had to replace the fitting on that. And oh my God. Thank you, Lord, for the weekend.
Dishwashers are not an easy thing to install because they are, you know, water and electric, plumbing and electric at the same time. Pain in the butt. And I do tend to call somebody to come and fix them myself when I
didn't have to install it. I just had to keep it from leaking. But I still could have died, I'm sure, somehow. If I could die doing a household thing, I'd be the one to do it. Because I know just enough to get me in trouble. So.
Well, that, you know, Sean would be lying there. All of a sudden, the door would fly open on the dishwasher, smack him in the face.
That would be it. Anyway, riding out in style. I wanted to read this because I didn't get a chance to last week, Demon Hunter.
Okay.
Auto enthusiast can make a one-way trip to heaven in a coffin that embodies their favorite car. From a vintage 1950s hot rod to a futuristic car of tomorrow, a cruising casket will let you ride out of this world in style. The custom coffins were designed by inventor Danny Mendez and come complete with a hinged door, upholstered leather interior, and white wall tires. The brass muffler pulls out to turn into a handle for a pallbearer to hold.
Have a drink.
For those who want to get some extra mileage out of their investment while still alive, a cooler conversion can be purchased separately that will turn this one-of-a-kind casket into an ice chest. So you can store your beer. Yes, you can store your beer in what soon to
but
be
buried. Don't drive home after you drink it, because then you'll need your cooler far too soon.
Yes. That's G&D show fresh from the vaults in the news for the 13th of March. I believe that's the day today.
Can I get a DeLorean?
Yeah, you can be buried in a DeLorean. I think if it'll rust out within the first 3 years. You know, I think most of them are already gone, aren't they?
No. The cool thing I found out about DeLoreans is, yes, John DeLorean did face charges for drug trafficking during his time. This is off the top of my head, folks. I could be wrong about some of these information, so don't come suing me, John DeLorean. I'm sure you need money. But he...
now he will.
He was arrested, something to do with drugs during that time period. Only so many DeLoreans had been made. However... the parts were all still in the factory, ready to build more DeLoreans. Since they were never built, you can order a brand new DeLorean. They put the car together for you. It takes several months to get it put together and sent to you. But you can have a brand new DeLorean yes. built from the parts originally designed to be the original DeLorean stock. You can order it, and honestly, it doesn't cost you more than a sports car would cost you today. You could probably pick one up for $45,000.
And for $22.50, you get a limited time extended warranty and a gram of Coke taped under the gas tank. Act today, everybody.
Don't speak English.
Did you get that?
I got it.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Management or their affiliates.
I should have said 1995. You're right.
Yeah.
Everything late night infomercial. 1995. Act today.
Oh, but
four payments of 1995.
No, I was just watching that on the History Channel because when I have nothing to do, which you know isn't that often, but I do turn on the History Channel because I'm a history buff. And they were talking about how you could just order a DeLorean now from the original stock. And, you know, if I had to go out and pick a car, and I could pick any car now at that price, you know, I would order a DeLorean. Who wouldn't? I mean, you can even get the new muffler system they were going to put on them just before they had to stop manufacturing them. So
There you go. But I know they did rust out real bad, and they didn't go back.
How did they rust out? They were stainless steel.
I don't know. They there was a problem with the undercarriage rusting.
Oh, that I did not know about that.
The undercarriage. That's right. How many DeLoreans do you actually see on the road today?
Well, very few were sold.
Huh?
Very few were sold.
Sir, that is an abomination and a sad excuse. Please redeem yourself immediately or get off the ship. I don't know. I have nothing. Did I tell you I'm running the temperature? I'm sick, guys. Send get well cards immediately.
With cash. Yep.
With cash, preferably.
Oh, man. How did we get here again?
No rest. I don't know. We just go off on these rants. We're never going to make it in radio.
Yes, we'll because never make it. The guys that rant never make it in radio. That's true.
I know. They don't.
Oh, man.
For years. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think I'm starting to get delirious. I think I see spots. I do. I thought I see. It's either a ghost or it was a spot that was dancing right in front of the camera. You see, me and Nate, guys, we can actually see each other. We talked about that last week. This is our second show where we can see each other. So
after 4 years, I have to look at Sean now, which is ruining my Sundays.
And soon to come, you will see our faces bright and shiny every Sunday night. And I'm sure that's going to...
We apologize in advance.
Our shows usually end up being like a kegger. More than a radio show, you know, it's just everybody just falls in and they're like laughing and everything, and usually we run over on time, so that's how it runs. But I got this cool werewolf dog. I was talking about that last week. I still got him up here. So
and your Captain Morgan in the background there.
Yeah, Captain Morgan. Scary Jerry got me. It's a nice Captain Morgan statue. That's what I do. He's my lucky Captain Morgan. So what are you going to do, everybody out there? But I hope everybody had a good weekend. I hope you got a little ghosting in and did your own thing. You know, the funny thing is about this case that I'm running down for our listeners, Demon Hunters, soon-to-be viewers, is I couldn't believe it. Right here, what a lot of people don't realize, we're always looking for the next ghost chase, right? Everybody said, oh, man, you know, I need a haunted place. I need all this stuff. I need to do that. I need to do this. You know, we got to come together, folks, and we got to stop paying $150, $100, $200 a night to go to these places. Yes, it's good to donate $50. It's good to donate every once in a while. But the days of these people buying these decrepit mansions that are falling apart and overcharging poor little broke ghost investigators to come in for 4 hours and they shove a pizza in your face and say, God bless, have a good night, should be over. I'm starting to act, Demon Hunter. I am going to attack overpriced four-hour investigations of haunted locations.
The rants of Sean Burrs do not represent those. Well, no, yes. They kind of...
I am going to attack this year. I mean, I agree with the fact that people need to raise money for historical locations. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. But we're going a little bit. I think you listeners will agree. I think you will too, dear. We're going just a tad bit over restoration costs, okay? All right? I mean, come on. I've been to some of these places, and I know they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, at least, enough
well,
to keep the lights
it
on.
Is, but, you know,
oh,
you
I'm
look...
Sorry. I said keep the lights on. I act like the places have electricity.
Well, you look at places like Eastern State Penitentiary. You can go in there all day long for $7.
There you go.
If you want to go at night and do a ghost hunt, they will only allow a certain number of people in at night. they have to hire people to come in to be with you because it is a historical landmark, and it is also so falling apart that they, by law, they have to have somebody there with you. But you know, if you want to go in at night, it's $100 per person. But every dime of that $100 goes to keeping the museum aspect of Eastern State Penitentiary up and running, because it does not have any other form of income.
Not pay, not buying it, because it is a state.
It's a privately owned museum.
It might be privately owned, but because it's a museum, it gets tax breaks and it gets deductions at some point. I'm not buying this. Oh, we're poor and weak, and that's why we overcharge the public. Not going to do it. But I digress. I got off the
subject. I have to argue with you. I think of all the places, some place like that, that is a museum that uses the money to keep the museum open for the public, that it's okay. I don't care if you gave me the finger on the screen there, Sean. I don't care.
You are wrong, and you're a disgrace to your people. And the ghost
Sean,
hunter,
you ignorant slut. You just
have to. There's more beeping to come, folks. I just got called a slut on my own show. I love it.
First time in four years.
I was saying, though, Nate, maybe not Eastern State, whatever, but a lot of these places do get tax breaks, and they get a lot of deductions because they're historical locations. It's true. It costs a lot. I understand it. It costs a lot to keep these old mansions and stuff going. I understand that, but we're going a little bit too much.
Well, I think places that normally are open to the public in the evenings, like hotels and things like that, that say have always been like $50 a night to stay there or something, and then all of a sudden they jump the rate up to say $200 a night because it's known as haunted. Yeah, that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that. It's always been $50 a night. Keep it at $50 a night. I think places like Eastern State Penitentiary that never had it open in the evening. And, you know, okay, yeah, they make $400 that night, but they may only do that 2-3 times a week, and all that money goes back into keeping the place open. I'm okay with that.
Are you kidding me? In October alone, these places bankroll their entire year, okay? In October alone, I haven't seen the numbers. Granted, I haven't seen the numbers, but common sense would tell you that I know
how
the
much would it take to keep a place. You got to understand, in the 1980s, they were ready to plow Eastern State into the ground to build a mini mall.
Are you kidding me? They destroyed the Civil War camp.
Exactly.
Here in Indianapolis.
Because the places, for all, you know, we look at them and think it takes, you know, they're making all this money and stuff like that. Certain places like that do not bring in a huge amount of money. That is their only source of income. Yes, Eastern State runs a Halloween show in October. Eastern State does have the daytime visitation, which just covers itself. But, mm-hmm. I mean, all it does is cover it. Have you been to Eastern State, Sean?
I have not been to Eastern State. And once again, sir, this is not, I repeat, not an attack on Eastern State.
I'm simply using it as an example.
I've been, right, this is an attack on the places that I've been around the state of Indiana that I know for a fact are overcharging people. And I'm sick of it, and I'm going to fight it because I think we need to get back to the day. I can see $50. $150 to $200 is a joke. I don't care what prison. I don't care if it's under the sea. It's too much money for people to be going to. Now, unless you're the Smithsonian. The Smithsonian doesn't charge that. Come on.
They don't let people go in and ghost hunt at night either.
Are you kidding me? They let people in at all. It's got Abraham Lincoln's hat with the bullet hole through it. I mean, my God. Okay? Come on. But anyway, like I said, I digress. What I said was we need to stop paying those kind of outrageous prices. I like to go to those places too, but I don't want to pay that. Because if we do the research, you find places like Camp Morton that are around, that are free. And we have to do a little research, but guys, ghosts are everywhere.
That's true, too. Like I've said, I've got a lot of places up here that are open in the woods, and there's campsites nearby, and you can camp nearby and go do your ghost hunting for absolutely free. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, people have to start looking and stop looking for the big places like that. I'm agreeing with you, Sean.
Thank you.
Take it for what you want. Take
it, leave
it. I just
wanted to say you're a dirty, rotten son of a... That's my beep.
Yes, well.
So,
oh, my gosh.
Actually, cuss, folks. I just inserted the Kmart horn. See, I go to Kmart to buy my horns, okay? I'm not a cat that can pay $250 a night at Eastern State Cat House, you know, whatever.
I'm sure you'd find $250 a night for a cat house, Sean, but...
Here's the deal. You get a show, even Extreme Paranormal. I'm sure after Extreme Paranormal came up, the tourist rate went up just a tad from the 13 people that watched our show. Just that they probably ran out to some of these locations and paid to go through it. And if you own the location, you're going to say, uh-oh, people are coming out. Let's charge them. We just got to band together. It's kind of like gas prices, dude. It's almost $4 a gallon now. If we just one day band together across the country and said, you know what? We're not going to work. We're not buying gas. We're not doing nothing. You would almost bankrupt some of these oil companies, and they'd be forced to lower the gas prices.
Ridiculous. They've already got the money for the gas, because if they can't sell it, it goes to other means.
What are you talking about? It goes to other means. So you mean to tell me if everybody, hands across America, joined forces and
decided not to drive their cars, okay,
decided not to purchase gas for one day, that it wouldn't make an effect or a dent in the
wouldn't
oil
wouldn't make company? A dent.
Huh?
Wouldn't make a dent, because a lot of people decided to do that back 2 years ago when we were here on the East Coast. When we were getting, go ahead and bleep me. Go ahead. I can see you now. I can see what you're going to do. Back in like 2009, when here on the East Coast, we had gas prices reaching $5. Everybody said, everybody take the day off. Nobody buy gasoline, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it came out, you know, didn't make a dent. Didn't right. make a dent, because that just means you got to go buy gas the next day. You're still going to have to travel. You stupid morons. <It's>
No. True. Okay, maybe one day's not enough. Let's shut it down for a week. Let's shut it down.
What are you going to do
week?
To heat your home? Because the same gas that goes to those gas stations is supplied by the
summer. Do it in the summer.
Okay, do it in the summer.
Don't take a bath. Just, hey, how did the people...
These companies work year by year, not day by day, Sean.
Look, this is a ghost show, so I'm not going to go off on that. Paid by the big oil company.
See, you're breaking up. You're breaking up, Sean. Even the internet doesn't agree with you.
And my attack is on you now, sir. On you, sir. Oh, that was fun.
We haven't had a good argument in a long time.
Oh, I know. And this, furthermore, the Ouija board is the number one tool.
I must disagree with you, sir. Hey, what do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our guest for this evening.
That's it, guys. Stay tuned. Skeletons in the Swimming Hole up next.
Chrissy P coming at you right after this. If I can find the right button to push here.
Hit the button.
I'm trying.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Save your soul, me so. Gonna let it slide this time. What is the darker side of the moon, Laura? It is a radio show that discusses weird news, strange happenings, and strange people. Yeah. And it's once a week. Once a week. Just once a week. That's not too much to ask. No, it's not. But if you really like it and you want to listen to it every day, you can. You can listen on the podcast. And how do you do that, Becky? Check us out on iTunes, or you can find us at our website at darkersideradio.com. For Darker Side of the Moon with Becky Ray and Laura Moon, check the website for show times and dates. Yes, because we're always moving about. Because we like to keep you on your toes. Gotcha.
This is Dr. Satan, and you're listening to the Ghostmen and Demon Hunters show.
One by one, we march into the fire. Not even hell could hold us on.
It's so weird, because I know this is going...
We will never surrender. Let what meant for life.
Hey, people are talking before I get to turn the music off here. Come on.
Isn't
that
crazy?
Professional. Hey, that's live radio. Hey,
kind of like overcharging people in the paranormal community to spend the night in your haunted location.
Not nearly as bad as getting on your soapbox and screaming about it because you don't have the money to go.
Well, that's how I deal with my brokenness.
Hey, by the way, Sean, that was Until We Sleep, Kill Your Kind. Little music there just to bring us back in. And
isn't that the same song we use every week?
No, we use it about once every 6 weeks because nobody sends us any music to play on the show.
Oh, I seen another one of our friends that has a show. He sent out a thing, you know, begging people to send him in music again. So it was cool when we used GarageBand.com because we would showcase each week. I know Mike, Ghost Chaser, in the chat room, he had sent me a CD. Real cool people. Mike, you need to email me and tell those cats to get a hold of us so we can showcase their stuff, bro.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Mike's, by the way, Sean, I got to send a thank you out to Mike Marsh, who sent me some Rocky Patel Connecticut 99s. Want to thank him big time for that. Cigars, my Rocky Patel Connecticut 99 cigars. My favorite cigar, and
I was gonna say, are those like Jordans?
Yes, I can jump twice as high. You remember when you were a kid and you'd throw on your brand new sneakers and you'd go, look how far I can jump now.
Dude, do you guys have a Payless shoe? Christy, do you have
Yes, we do. We have a Payless shoe in the mall.
Hey guys,
Payless shoe source.
I was, we all know, I am a husky, not fat, husky young man, and I was always husky when I was a child. I was a very pleasantly husky young man, and I remember we'd go to Sears and Roebuck for my pants, right? And we would, you know, your belly would be bigger than the, you know, your length wouldn't catch up with your belly, so that all my pants would have to be hemmed, and so we'd have to go to the husky section. They don't have it no more. I don't know. But you go to the husky.
It's politically section. Incorrect to have a husky section now.
Now they just have lard butt section. Lard butt. I said butt, you know, so you don't have to beep that out. But
butt can go. Apparently, that other word can't make it.
Right. Well, I remember my cousins be wearing what was cool when we were younger. It was like British Knights, Nikes, Reebok, stuff like that. I had Pro Wings from Payless Shoe Store, man. It was terrible.
I will never forget the first time I was able, because my parents would give me like an allotment of money to get my clothes for the year. And if I chose to go out and get a pair of Reeboks, that means I wasn't getting any other new clothes for the year, because that was like the entire allotment of money I had for the year. The first time that I had earned enough money to go out and buy myself a pair of Nikes, I can remember how proud I was walking into school wearing those Nikes, and everybody kind of looked over and went, Nikes are so last year.
That's okay. We had a store in Danbury called Kresge's, and it was like a five and dime. And I used to go get tennis sneakers for $3.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what I wore to school, like without the laces. I'd pull the laces out, and everybody'd be there with their, you know, it was the 80s, their Nikes and their Reeboks and their tricked out stuff or whatever. And they'd look at me and go, what are you, poor? I'd go, no, I just like $2 shoes, and I could buy them in all different colors and match all my different skirts and dresses.
What are you, poor? Absolutely. I'm a child of the earth.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's one of those things where I'd go to like the store and buy a pair of sneakers, and you know, I would be really proud of them, really happy that I got these particular sneakers. Show up at school, and like guys would be wearing like almost the exact same sneakers, but they'd have the tongues hanging out underneath the laces. And I was like, I can't wear my sneakers like that. That's like ridiculous. But I would have the exact same sneakers, but I wouldn't be cool because the tongues were tucked in on my sneakers.
Yeah, and you didn't peg leg your pants, man.
I didn't peg leg my pants.
Rolled twice.
Well, peg leg.
I remember the fold over and like you'd roll them up like it was so 80s. It's like, look at me in my folded over, rolled up, you know, scrunchy pants.
And what was the deal, guys, with the suspender pants? Not suspender, but overalls. Remember that?
Oh, God.
You know what? I didn't have overalls in my area, which I think mainly was because I came from a very farming community, and no one wanted to admit they were a farmer, so they wouldn't wear overalls.
I liked overalls because you could slip both hands in your pants, and you wouldn't even have to take undo nothing. It was just one big...
Well, Sean, I don't even want to go there with that visual image right now. But
I'm just saying, picture me in my overalls with my pro wings on, peg leg. Maybe we should talk ghost or something.
Maybe we should instead of like 1980s fashion. Although I'm sure we could do. Something.
I don't know. 1980s fashion is really.
It's pretty haunting, actually.
It's haunting. And it's really getting that chat room like really going there. By the way, Sean, I would like to point out that everyone in the chat room from our argument earlier agrees with me. So it's right. You lose.
Yeah,
it's.
I didn't read it quite like that, but yeah, we'll take your word for it. So.
We don't have a call-in line on this show, so they can't argue with me on that point. So
we're gonna go on that too, I think.
We do. We do. We are looking into that. I am actually looking in specifically to a call-in line. The problem is we don't have enough computers to make all this stuff work.
Yeah, we had a call-in line for you guys once too. Everybody's like, yeah, and nobody ever called in.
And when when they did call in, it was like that Saturday Night Live skit where they'd be like, remember when you did that episode where you talked to that guy about the ghost in his house?
We had that one guy.
That was really cool.
He would call in every Sunday and we'd be like, hello, you're on the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show.
Well, that was right. And then one night he called and said he was hearing banging in his wall. And I said, well, is it possible that your neighbors are banging? And he never called us back. It's
I remember that episode, actually.
That was great. He never called us back after that. Poor kid. Poor kid. He was probably in the paper the next day. He ran off naked through a ballpark or something. I don't know.
There was a clock tower and pantyhose involved. And a shotgun. I don't know what it was.
We would answer the phone and say, hey, you're on GD show. He'd be like, hello? What are you doing, guys? What are you wearing? So it got rough.
It did. We wound up giving up the phone line because like three people would call us like each month and same three people every time. So, and how could you not pick up the phone? You felt bad for them. You knew if you didn't, they knew nobody else was calling. So if you didn't pick up, it was just because you didn't want to talk to them.
People in the chat room are always like, oh, well, that's that dude calling in again, because nobody would call in. Oh, it was nuts.
That was the day when Blog Talk Radio, which was where we started, Blog Talk Radio, was absolutely free. You could go pretty much as long as you wanted, whenever you wanted, absolutely free. The more listeners you got on average, you got the more people, the better time slots you got. But we were always late at night on a Sunday, so nobody gave a damn. But... you know, Sean, now I understand Blog Talk Radio charges you for your time slots and if you want to be more than a half hour or any of that crap. Right. So, I mean, I'm glad we're independent. We're out on our own. Chrissy P has been there with us since the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. I remember that first show. It was like February 7th or something. But you guys had like a test run on like February 4th. I remember because it was the night before my birthday.
That's right. And we have since deleted that test run and no one is able to find it. Because it can only be found in a case that Chrissy P has for me locked in a safe somewhere. So, that first test run is not available.
Yes, and let me just put it out there. If anybody wants to send me $10, I will personally copy that disc and mail it to you.
$10 and a pair of pro wings.
No.
there you go.
I don't know. Pro rings, I think, cost about $10. So that's a $20 deal right there. It's
what are you?
For $25.
I'll take free wine, you know, free beer, free cigarettes.
For $25, whatever. You can get an episode of Extreme Paranormal. It's,
I can't believe those kids did that to you. What are you, poor? Yes, I am.
Hey, that's kids for you, man. I mean, we all talk about how kids see more ghosts than adults do because they're more open. You know what kids are more open to? Being mean. Yeah. Kids are able to be mean better than anybody else on Earth.
Well, that's just because they just want to say what's on their mind. They don't necessarily have filters yet.
You know, I can see why the old people used to think we were idiots, because we were. I mean, because I see the kids now and a lot of them are idiots. I mean, I just see the couple. I'm not going to say all of them. They all could, you know, stand to learn a lot, and so can a lot of adults out there. But I see a couple today, gangster, whatever. I'm not going to say gangster. How about thug life? I don't know. You know, pants down, everything, and their hats backwards or whatever, and they were walking. And they must have been like 12. I mean, at 12 years old, man, I was playing with He-Man, G.I. Joe, everything. I didn't even know what a booby was. You know what I mean? So
it's a bird, right?
Yeah, it was a booby bird. I believe it's in Australia. But no, I knew what that was. But it's because I had a Princess Leia doll. Come on, guys, work with me. Princess Leia, Star Wars.
No, I don't get it, Sean.
Yeah, but
I'm
was
sorry.
It a Princess Leia blow-up doll is what I really want to know.
I wish.
That's where my mind is going right now.
That doll was lame. I had, like, the first Princess Leia with the buns on her hair. I didn't have the really hot Return of the Jedi one.
The slave girl metal bikini Princess Leia? Yeah,
that's the one that Nathan keeps saying, we got to get that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's
They were like 12 years old, and I was going into the store, and they were eyeballing me like they were going to jump me or something. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I will hit you with my bag and knock you back out of your diapers. You know what I mean? I mean, these kids today, what are we going to do?
I know. I think it's a problem there, Sean. Maybe we should just get rid of children. That would be an
Parents,
answer.
Spank your children. I'm kidding. Don't kill your kid. Just lock him in the room.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of you.
They represent parents' thoughts and feelings across the nation.
But, you know, one of the things we got to do, Sean, before we go too much further, is we have to announce our buddy Terry's next clue for Paranormal A to win a copy of Chrissy P's book, Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Haunted Tales from Disney World. I almost said land.
What color socks am I wearing? What is it?
Okay, let me pull up the clue here. The clue, for those of you who have not been following Paranormal A and how to win a copy of this book, Chrissy P., where can they find the previous clues?
The clues are on the Paranormal A website, which you can Google, and it should come right up. It's a Google Sites. They are also on Paranormal A's Facebook page, and they are also on Paranormal A's YouTube channel. Okay. And Paranormal A is the word paranormal capitalized, and then A, like E-H capitalized with a question mark. So you can Google that, and you can find the video clues on any of those websites. And the answers, the clues, actually direct you to my website, where you can go to the Read My Work page and read the stories on there, and you get the clues from the stories.
And what's the URL address where people can find those?
Okay, the answers to the clues are on my website at www.ChristyPetersenEnSchoonover.com. After that, once you get the clues all solved, you can email your answers to paranormala@gmail.com.
Okay, and the final clue.
Break yourself, fool!
That's right. The final clue. The final...
And we're giving the final clue tonight on audio, right? That's
right.
What you're doing right now?
The final clue is from Charlotte's Family Tree. On Chrissy P's website, Chrissy Peterson Schoonover, Charlotte's Family Tree, line 91, words 9, 10, and 11. So I guess if you are just getting in on this, you got to go follow back and go to Paranormal A and find those other clues. But tonight's clue is from Charlotte's Family Tree line 91, words 9, 10, and 11.
And how do they get their answers into us, Stephen Hunter?
They can send them to Paranormal A. That's P-A-R-A-N-O-R. Wait, no. What?
Paranormal A.
P-A-R-A-N-O-R-M-A-L-E-H at gmail.com. So they send them to paranormala@gmail.com. And again, final clue, Charlotte's Family Tree, line 91, words 9, 10, and 11.
Go and send your answers right away. Oh, look, you're out of time. It's too bad.
Well, I'm kind of excited. Terry actually said that he has a lot of people that are playing this, so I beefed up the prize package a little bit. So not only do you get a copy of the book, and you can have it autographed and signed or not, like however you want
You know what I just realized? I live in the same house as you, and I don't have an autographed copy.
Oh, that's really sad.
My copy is not autographed. That's really bad.
Chris, thanks for my book, by the way, the one with Edgar Allan Poe on the front.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, Denigrating David. That's actually going to be part of the prize package, too, because it's a limited edition.
That was awesome, by the way. I loved it. I loved
it. Thank you.
And it was inspiring because, you know, I'm trying to write a book, and it showed me that I don't have to have 10 billion pages to have a good book.
You don't.
You did a great story, and it didn't, you know, it was a page turner, and it just kept my interest the whole time. It was just, it was such a great book.
Thank you.
You know, I think it's really interesting when you get into, like, Stephen King. I'm a Stephen King fan, but my favorite stories by Stephen King are his short stories.
Yeah.
You know, when he writes a short story, it's fabulous. When he writes a novel, there's always a spider at the end. It's the bad guy.
I consider him one of the finest masters of the modern day short story. He's really, really good at it. He just knows how to pare it down to tell you what you need to know. He keeps the structure pretty clean. One of my favorite ones by him is Rainy Season, which I believe you can find in Nightmares and Dreamscapes. And it's the one about, well, I don't want to blow it, but it's called Rainy Season. It's really fun. I think it's one of his finest short stories ever. And I've read almost all of them, so...
Well,
I'm ready. I want to read it myself. I'm happy about short stories because when I was in school, you guys remember that, they'd have projects, short story writing. I loved it. I loved it. I love that and poetry. And it's always poetry about ghosts and spirits and stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do too. And I think poetry and short stories both truly lend themselves to ghost stories. They do because they're shorter. I mean, when you think in terms of the supernatural... You know, these things in the real world, whether they're real or not, they happen in an instant. So they lend themselves to the shorter form quite naturally. If you listen to anybody telling a story about something that happened to them, where they had a supernatural experience, and they're telling it, say, around a campfire, or they're having a couple of glasses of wine, and they're telling another person, you notice that the form of it is very short. You know, it doesn't go into a lot of detail. They usually remember... two or three very specifically honed details.
And when he came back to the car, there was a man with a hook. And the doors were locked.
Yeah. I mean, it really does lend itself to the shorter form. And I think that's why, I mean, I love novels too, but sometimes a good bang-up, like, haunting poem or a great haunting short story, I mean, The Oval Portrait by Edgar Allan Poe is still my favorite of all of his short stories, and like hardly anyone has ever heard of it.
Christy, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, although the Poe Society is doing, or something, I got an email the other day, and they're actually doing a reading of The Oval Portrait, and I forget where. And I was like shocked. I was like, wow, somebody's finally going to get this more out in the open. And it's like, oh God, I don't know. It's maybe 700 words or something, and it's amazing.
Right. You know how Edgar...
amazing little piece.
And I know you and Nate get to do some cool stuff, and I want to come out there to Baltimore with you guys one year for the Edgar Allan Poe thing because I love his stuff. But,
oh, my God, it's so much fun. We have such a great time we go.
But you guys know how it is. When you read some of Edgar's stuff, it's like being in the mind of a madman. I mean, when you're done, you're like, whoa, dude, you know, what were you on? Wow, that's some dark stuff. And the thing about it was there's this thing called Masters of Horror. Have you ever heard about it, Christy?
Yeah, yep, the video series you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have the black cat upstairs.
There it is. I watched that for the first time like last month, and I had to watch it like four times.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's very layered.
You know,
it's
one of the things I'm trying to do is get Sean out here back out to Connecticut for another trip. Just you, Sean, because you got to come out. We have to hit Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
We have to, and honestly, Edgar Allan Poe's house that he lived in Bronx, the Bronx, New York. It was Bronx, right, Chrissy?
Yeah, it's right. It's right between, it's in the Bronx, and it's near Fordham, and it's right on the Grand Concourse.
His house is right down here, maybe an hour from my house.
Yeah, it's an hour.
And I've been there a couple times.
And they have the bed that Virginia actually died in.
Yeah.
The real bed.
And it's right near the reservoir where he would walk, where he actually wrote, what was the famous, Which was the poem they wrote about the death of his of Annabelle?
Well, Annabelle Lee. Write that in the Bronx, right?
Right,
because
all the
different cities claim different things, but I think Annabelle Lee was written in the Bronx. But that's the one that
the autumn. What was it? The
or are you thinking of Ulalume?
Ulalume, that's it. He wrote Ulalume along the reservoir near there while he was living there. And although they did rumor that he had written The Raven there, but The Raven was actually written in Philadelphia. So,
yeah,
If you guys are out there and you're not into reading, if that's not your thing, check out Masters of Horror. If you have Netflix, they have it on there right now. Go to search and put in The Black Cat. And it's the story, Christy, I think, about the black cat.
Yeah,
that Edgar Allan Poe had written, and it is like an hour in the mind of a madman. The director did a perfect job. The actor looked exactly like Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah,
and it was just the cat, the goldfish, the scenes that they had in it was just like his book. I mean, I read the story, and it twists your mind so much. You're like, what the heck's going on here? And then before you know it, it's like, whoa! I'm not going to ruin the ending, but my God, that guy was a genius. How's it feel, Christy, to be in that group with Edgar, with Poe? I mean, you're in that group. You're an author. I mean, you got your stuff out there. You got everything going on right now. How's it feel?
It feels really good because I'm doing just what I always knew was part of me. I obviously hang out with a lot of writers and I talk to a lot of writers, and there's one thing we all agree on is that when you're kind of born with it, like you always end up coming back to it. And it's really cool, but also as we'd talked about before, you know, Edgar Allan Poe is considered a great genius now, but he only made $12,000 in today's money in his lifetime on his work.
Right, right.
You know, so there's also that inherent struggle there that you always want that recognition for what you do, but the reality is sometimes it never comes to you.
That's like
your lifetime.
Mark Twain was bankrupt. You know, he owned his own publishing company. He invested in everything you could imagine except the telephone, because he felt that only someone like a lawyer would use a telephone, and he wanted nothing to do with dirty people like lawyers.
The comments of Nathan Skuno. Hey, we might have to seek a lawyer after some of the things we said tonight. So,
but I'm just saying, what Mark Twain did not want to be involved with the telephone because he felt that only lawyers would use something like a telephone, and he wanted nothing to do with those kind of people.
Hey, guys, was it true that Poe, like in The Black Cat, Christy, he went to his editor or whatever it was, and they said, why don't you write some more of those terrific horror type stories? Because he came to him with poetry.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He didn't want to write the horror type stories. Was that true?
That was true. In fact, the only reason he wrote, and I can't remember if it was, I don't think it was The Black Cat, but there was one story that he wrote, and he literally wrote it on demand because he needed the money.
That was The Black Cat.
That was The Black Cat. Yep. And he was and he said to somebody, like, this is garbage, or this is junk, or this is what I need to make a buck.
Right.
You know, so he was kind of aware, but his true passion was really poetry. And he sort of looked at the short stories as a way to get his name out there. But, you know, he really loved poetry more than anything, even though he is considered like the father of the short story. I think in most circles, he's considered the father of the short story, especially mysteries.
Well, you know,
the whole murder in the Rue Morgue and all of that. Like, you know.
You know, I was reading up on, and I'm not saying you, but so the great authors out there, and your stuff is I think it's great. And
thank you.
You're welcome. It is. And they say genius comes with a disorder, or from a disorder comes genius. And they say, like, Poe was a certain type of bipolar, not, you know, not crazy bipolar, but he was a type of bipolar whereas he would be, he would just think so far outside the box. That's why people couldn't say, they couldn't match him. They're like, dude, where are you getting this? Do you think a lot of authors, a lot of people who write poetry, stuff like that, suffer from some type of, or not suffer, but have something like that?
Well, I've always often thought that if you are a writer or an artist or a musician or a dancer or an actress or actor, you know, our brains work a little bit differently. Right. You know, there's two halves of the brain. There's like the left side and the right side. And yep. there's two different halves of the brain. And it's not so much that, yes, it's true that a lot of these people had disorders or whatever. But I also think that a lot of it simply just comes from seeing the world a little bit differently. You know, a person like Poe was not going to necessarily settle down and go, okay, I'm just going to be an accountant and go crunch numbers all day. Right. Like, he saw the world in a different way. And when you're taught, when you go back to the time that he was alive, which, you know, he lived between 1809 and 1849, you know, there was a lot of things they didn't understand about the human mind. And I think now we understand a lot more. And sometimes these aren't necessarily physical or mental disorders. Sometimes it's just a way of looking at the world a little bit differently.
Right.
Like what, Nathan, we were watching A Beautiful Mind.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that guy was a genius. And they proved that there definitely was something mentally that wasn't right with him. But,
he was schizophrenic, yeah.
Yeah, right. But if you look at, but that was where his genius came from.
Exactly. And that's,
you know,
what I was getting
so
at, Mark
is
Twain.
Is it really a bad thing to be like that? Well, it's probably bad if you're married to that person or you're living with them or you're trying to have a relationship with this person.
You're trying to say something there, lady?
No. No, not at all. But I think, or it could become a difficulty in your friendships or your social circles, but if it justifies your work and if your work is better for that, you know, then why not? You right. know, it's just, it's a question of learning how to deal with it.
And I think that's what was amazing about Poe and people alike, that you were able to come inside his mind in the way that it twists and the maze that was inside, the dark shadows inside his mind. He allowed people to glimpse that. And I think that's what just sells people. It entrances them. At least it does for me.
Well, he really was the king of the ghost story. And
yeah.
that's what it comes down to. I mean, he knew how to raise those hairs on the back of your neck. And it was wonderful that he wrote short stories, because if he had written novels, nobody would have gotten any sleep, because they wouldn't have put the books down until he was done, until they were done. You know, mm-hmm. he just really went through it and captured his audience.
Mm-hmm.
If he had done his books in a series the way Charles Dickens had, he would have been a millionaire.
Well, and the other thing too is that what makes the ghost story, you know, so appealing. You know, everybody thinks, okay, well, I used to think the reason I love ghost stories is because, you know, I had a couple of supernatural experiences when I was a kid, or there were things I couldn't explain. But this is part of where we tap into Poe, too. That, you know, there's a universal core there, in that everyone can read a ghost story by Poe or someone else, and usually they can relate to some element of that story. They can relate to someone died. They can relate to, you know, this lover either left me or passed away, but even if this person is still alive and they left me, they're haunting me every day.
Right.
You know, it's not just necessarily ghosts that haunt us. You know, it's our pasts.
Right.
Many, many times it's our pasts. People come back from our pasts. They haunt us, whether they're alive or dead or what. Things we said to certain people come back and haunt us. And it was interesting because Michael Burdock, he wrote a book back in the early 90s called Grim Phantasms. And it was basically, it's a very short book. It's maybe only 115 pages or something. It's really hard to find. It's out of print. When I was doing my thesis on Edgar Allan Poe for my undergraduate thesis, I managed to get my hands on this book through the library system.
Right.
And his whole theory about Poe was that the reason his work was so successful was that there were four basic triggers that triggered people to see things or hear things or whatever. And one of the points he made was that whether or not the Telltale Heart's narrator actually hears the heartbeat or imagines the sound is not that important. The fear resulting from the man's guilt proves real and drives him to reveal his heinous crime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So basically that taps into that whole theory. And I think that's why Poe and a lot of these other ghost stories are so successful, is because everybody understands when you feel intense guilt, when you feel intense passion, like they talk about crimes of passion, like somebody goes and murders somebody else or something like that. You talk about extreme oppression, like in Poe's Hop Frog. You know, did you read Hop Frog, Sean?
I did not.
Okay, Hop Frog is basically...
Sean, you would relate with the main character very well.
Yeah. Hop Frog is basically...
Great.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's... No, but... Yeah, well, kind of, but... No, Hop Frog is like, this poor guy is so oppressed because he... You know, he isn't like, quote, normal, end quote. I'm not going to reveal too much. You need to go read it.
All right.
But eventually he has this breakdown, and he's driven to do this horrible thing. But you know what's really terrible about that story? You're rooting for this guy. You are rooting for this guy. You're like, yeah, burn them all, man. Do it. Because everyone can identify with being oppressed. Everyone can identify with being picked on. So this horrible thing that he does, the reader as a normal person reads the story and goes, dude, I get it. I totally get that. I would do that too. So it's this trigger thing. And that's what Poe really tapped into. The fourth trigger was circumstance. You know, if you have extreme circumstances, you can be pushed to do things. And it works two ways. It's either... where you're haunted by something because of this massive buildup, or you do something because of this massive buildup, or you commit a crime, or you do something really heinous. So when you really get deeply into the psychology of these stories, I think everyone can identify with them, because it does have to do with haunting, but not necessarily supernatural.
When you were writing Skeletons, did some of that come out in your work, you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Every story in that collection, and there were a few that didn't make it that are going to go into the second book, which is coming out next year. Every story in that book is sort of based around that idea, you know, that we are all haunted by things.
Yes.
And just because we go to like a place like Disney World where everything's all happy and great, you know, or you go to your like happy place, basically, just because you go to your happy place does not mean that these things will not catch up with you.
Well, I tell you what, Christy, you're becoming one of my favorite type of authors. You're becoming, a dark author. You're tapping into the dark stuff, and I love that. I think that's the best type of poetry. You know, any kind of printed work is the best, I think, when it's from the dark. You know what I mean? The dark recesses of your mind.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sean. And, you know, that goes to, you talk about the dark stuff. That's really what romanticism is.
Yes.
You know, that's romantic. Dark stuff is romantic. As opposed to idealism, which is where idealism is like, oh, everything's great. And, you know, romantic, you know, you talk about the romantic poets.
Yeah.
You know, they were all on the dark edge, because I think the difference between romantics and idealists is that romantics look at everything and go, this is really great, but there's a dark side and I can romance that because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And idealists go, this is really great, I'm going to ignore that dark side and walk away. And then when it blows up in their faces, they're like, oh my God, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the difference.
Now, to give people an idea of what's in Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Haunted Tales from Disney World, can you give like just the name of the title of each thing in there, followed by like a really brief description of the story?
Yes, I can. The preface story is called Monorail Clear. and it's about a pilot, a monorail pilot, who discovers he has eerie cargo, as far as I'm going to go. The second story, the story that actually opens the book is called Doing Blue, and that's about a girl who's committed a crime, and basically her crime comes back to haunt her, even though she kind of gets involved with these people who are addicted to riding the Wedway People Mover, or the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, for those of you who are not classicists like I am, and I still call it the Wedway People Mover and always will. The next story is called, I think Romancing the Goat is next. And Romancing the Goat is about a teenage girl who is really having issues with her foster sister, and tries to punish her on Big Thunder Mountain, and that goes bad. Then there's Charlotte's Family Tree, which is about, this was Family Treehouse, and there's a mother taking her daughter there, but the mother really is, has a lot of guilt about her past, and that's that whole thing. There's a ghost that shows up and all of that. Then there's All This Furniture and Nowhere to Sit, which is about a guy who's married to a Disney freak. Nathan, don't go there. and that's all I'm going to say about that one. If you want a window into our lives, you can go read that story.
Yeah.
And then there's Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, which is the title story, which is about a woman who has an affair, and her guilt kind of gets out of control, but it turns out there is a very real threat. I think there's one more story in there. God, it's my own collection. I can't even remember it.
Uh-oh.
Trust, you know, I...
Go ahead, talk. I'll figure it out.
No, I was going to say, I always wondered, and Christy, you're going to get mad because you're going to be disgusted, but I always wondered, in the basement of the Magic Castle, Cinderella's Castle, or was it, no, it was Sleeping Beauty's Castle, in the basement of there, did the characters ever fool around? Like Minnie Mouse, Mickey Mouse, after after hours, you know, the people that were in the suits. I mean, you know, I would. Yeah, I'd have to. I'd have to.
Okay,
do it.
Well, here's the whole deal with that. In I don't know that much about Disneyland like I know about Disney World, because I was a Disney World kid. You know, Disney World was completed 6 months after I was born, and I think
is
I was
that,
there when I was
is that
2 months
Orlando?
Old. Huh?
Is that Florida?
That's in Florida. Disney
okay,
World was in Florida. And what they did was the tunnels that you're referring to in Disney World, because Disneyland doesn't have them. That was like, well, the reason they have the tunnels in Disney World is because in Disneyland, you know, Walt Disney did not like the fact that, you know, the cowboys from Frontierland had to walk over to Tomorrowland and disrupt, like they were breaking that fourth wall, that illusion. If you saw a cowboy in Tomorrowland, that wasn't cool. You know,
right.
Because you're shattering the guest's perfect ideal of being in another land. So what he did was, when they built Disney World, the tunnels that are under Cinderella Castle in Disney World are actually the first floor of the park. The park itself is the second floor. They didn't dig, because they couldn't dig down into Florida dirt, because it was all, you know, it's all swamp. It's a big sinkhole. So they had to build the first floor, and the first floor is actually the tunnels. And the
which, if you ever walk into Disney World, you notice you walk uphill to get into it.
Yes, it's, you do.
Do you remember when we first used to walk in the park in Orlando? They had the, what, 1,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Oh, 20,000 leagues!
Yes!
My
yeah, you remember
favorite.
That? We'd get inside the little boat and go around. You'd see an octopus killing a guy and some other stuff. And
I used to freak out. Well, my dad was a Navy man.
Oh, yeah.
So he took me on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and I would just be crying and everything.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he revealed the secret when I was like 6.
Oh,
you know what? I wasn't disappointed. That actually made it better for me. My mom was really mad at him. She's like, why are you telling her that? And he's like, because she's freaking out, and I just...
Hey, Chrissy.
I'm just going to tell her the truth.
Chrissy, hold on. Hold on. I think the other story you're thinking of is Miss Rena.
Oh, Miss Raina gets her comeuppance on Flash Mountain.
Right.
Sean will like that. Well, I know Sean has the book, but you'll like that story because that centers around the fact that they used to, and I don't know if they still do, but they used to have a cast member that used to sit and monitor all the pictures because women would pick up their shirts and, you know, their boobs and hang out when they'd take the pictures.
Nice. That's what I call class.
Yep, on Splash Mountain.
And so they used delete to
be,
them, yeah.
As far as I know, from my research and a couple of cast members I talked to, there used to be someone whose whole job that was. Where if some chick picked up her shirt and she had her flesh hanging out, they would just axe the picture right there. It wouldn't go up on the final thing.
Some guys get all the good jobs.
Yeah, right?
I would take that with medical. Medical and dental, a good dental.
You don't
plan.
Have to even have to get paid. Just that and medical and dental. Yes. That's all you
I'd
need.
Be Disney boob guy. That's what I would do.
Disney boob guy. Yeah, that's your dream job, Sean.
Sean, you're already a boob. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think we should argue. Debate again.
People are waiting for it. They're like, I swear they were putting up things for us to argue about before Chrissy came on. They wanted to hear
I
more
think
arguments.
We're going to have to have heated debates. You know, we've never done it on the show. We got to bring people on and just
well,
get them
you know,
all
the funny
off.
Thing is, we did in the beginning. You and I argued about everything. And then,
oh, God, the Ouija board episode? Good Lord. I was like, all right, listen, I'm opening a bottle of wine. I'm going to listen to you two kill each other on the air, and that's enough for me for tonight.
I was just happy. I was just happy that I won that debate.
Yes, you've won them all. You've won them all. Stick to that when you write our book. Autobiography, How Nathan Won Every Fight in 4 Years.
Hey, I think there's a great book in the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show story.
I think so, too. You write it, and let's all make a profit off of it. How about that?
There you go.
Start it.
We just have to get approval from our producers from Extreme Paranormal to stick all the secrets in there of what really happened. Yeah.
I believe our contract is over. We are free, I believe.
Except for the fact that we can't reveal anything that happened behind the scenes. Ever.
Yeah.
But other than that.
What was that? Me changing out of my wetsuit and underwear into another one behind a towel?
Oh, my gosh. That was just a disgusting
I guess
thing.
I'm going to court.
Sean, why did you have to put that image back into my mind? It's
I guess we're getting sued.
Stuff like the fact that I had ordered a giant floating pentagram with a 20-foot wide center, and they showed up with one that was 20 foot wide all the way around, and I said, how am I going to get to fit the boat in there? And they said, well, you can just swim in the middle. And I was like, what part of the fact that I can't swim don't you understand?
That's
the
great
swirling pool of death.
Yes, so they drop all 240 pounds of me into the water and say, hey, tread water until we come back an hour from now.
I was glad it was you, man, not me.
That was great. It was great. In the cold, mountainous region of New Mexico. It got cold at night, man. New Mexico. It did.
It got very cold out there.
Hey, what I want to know is when we're all going back to Gettysburg.
Oh, I'm ready.
That was fun.
I'm ready for a Gettysburg trip. I am ready for a Gettysburg trip.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is planning, if we can, because a lot of them don't. I have found one of America's forgotten battlefields.
Ooh.
close to Indiana. Of course, it wasn't the largest battle like Gettysburg or anything like that, but it was a pretty good, a significant amount of young men, unfortunately, lost their life in the battle. I think it was right around 1800, 2000. It was a small battle. It was about 2 days. Gettysburg was 3 days. So I think it was a day and a half, 2 days. Anyway, it's close to home, and I would like to go live feed for the Ghostman Demon Hunter show while we're out there, do some stuff out there.
We just have
to
find internet access.
Yeah, that's the thing. But if they have a shop out there or something that I can hook into live, I can just get a wireless card for the video, or I can get a real long cable, like 180 feet of audio cable or video cable.
Well, if you can find like a 100 feet of internet cable and then another 100 feet of video audio cable, you're set.
I don't think I need to. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to keep the laptop stationary wherever I can hardline it to the internet, and then I'm going to take off of that. I'm going to take the, the Dazzle,
right,
converter, and then I'm going to run just get like 100 feet of audio video cable and go crazy with it.
Oh, it looks like our year is planned out.
Well, I still think the best stuff is when you guys like put video or something up, or you're just shooting video for no reason, and then all of a sudden there's this EVP.
The Gettysburg
Didn't that happen
trip
to you on MySpace, Nathan, or something? Was it that you and Doug and Sean, and you were screwing around and some fan or something, right? Emailed you and said, dude, there's an EVP.
No, Sean found it because I had gone through the audio before that and not heard anything. And then Sean caught it when I switched it to digital. And he heard the EVP on it and contacted me and said,
"You know, that's what it was. Okay.
You just posted an EVP, and I had no idea."
Dude, it was plain as day. We're all three of us are ghost investigators, and we get an EVP. It's plain as day. And we're like, took us 6 months to go, "Hey, man."
Well, the thing was,
yeah, but you guys were making fun of the Blair Witch Project or something, right? Weren't you going, "I'd like to thank my mom," or whatever.
In fact, it was before the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show existed, so it's actually called The Ghostly Talk, Gettysburg.
Oh, that's right. Because wasn't that the summer before?
Yeah, that was the summer before Ghostman and Demon Hunter ever existed. So it's actually, it's on Google Videos, and people can find it. It's called The Ghostly Talk, Gettysburg, Ghostly Talk, Gettysburg Project. And
that's why I would like to say that I believe a ghost made us or guided us to start this broadcast. It was inspired by a ghost on the battlefield of Gettysburg.
And whoever the ghost was who convinced me to go out and give up every single Sunday, I'm glad you're dead. So I,
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. You live for it. But, you know, I do think, though, that that's just what's so fascinating about things like EVP. Like, I remember in January 2010, I was up in Provincetown for a month, and there was a friend that I'd made there, and he was like, "Hey, you're into abandoned stuff. Let's go check out this abandoned geology lab." And I was like, "Cool, awesome." You know, and it was way back in the woods or whatever. So I went up there, and I took all these pictures. It was the middle of the day. We shot all this video. I was like, "Wow, cool. Look at this abandoned couch, and look at this dead bird's nest, and, you know, all that stuff, because I'm really into that urban exploring type of stuff." And then I get home and I'm all excited, and I get back to Danbury and I'm watching the video and I'm putting it on my website, and I listen to this one little clip and I hear an EVP.
Nice. What did it say?
"Please leave."
Wow. You know, that's really scary, though. Most EVPs...
Oh, I had no idea. I was just... We were walking around, screwing around. We were drinking beer. You know, no big deal. "Please leave." Right. Female voice, loud as day. "Please leave." It was like, wow. Yeah, I was freaked out. And then in January 2011, I wanted to go back, and I was like, you know what? Really not into it. I mean, the place was creepy. You know, it was a little creepy, so...
Do you guys still go to the cemetery and have the party every year?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. I would love to be part of that.
You're talking about postseason, which is where we go two or three times a week and drink cocktails outside the cemetery?
You got to be outside?
Oh, yeah. It's outside in the cemetery itself. Several people who are locals. It's cocktail hour at the cemetery, and we gather at the cemetery and mix drinks.
I just think that's amazing. I think it's amazing. And like I said, I wanted to broadcast live from the Salem Witch Trials, of course, the Salem Mass this year for the G&D show. Nathan wants to go to Vegas. Maybe we end up in Gettysburg from a haunted location. Who knows? It's up in the air at this point. First, we got to get video working.
Yes, yes. We'll get that working this week.
Yeah. We always like to stay about 14 steps ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We make the plans and then we try and put it together. Hey, that's how the show came together. I said, we'll have a show come April. Sean calls me 1st of January and says, "Why don't we have it up in February?" Let me see how I can put that together there, Sean.
And we did it. We did it.
We did it. And we'll do the same with video. But, hey, Chrissy, we got to throw out a bunch of information here for people interested in Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Haunted Tales from Disney World. Where can they find it?
They can find it on Amazon.com, of course.
Right.
You just type in Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Tales from Haunted Disney World. You can find it on BarnesandNoble.com. You can, pretty much anywhere you can get books, you can get it. I wouldn't recommend Borders.com, though, and I won't go into that. But anyway, you can also get it if you'd like a signed copy or an unsigned copy. You can get it at www.HauntedDisneyTales.com. And there's PayPal buttons on there, and you can give me instructions, and those I ship directly to you from my house. And I have bonus postcards and stuff like that, or I can do them as gifts. And, you know, I make sure they're all wrapped and whatever. Christmas time was really busy because I was actually signing books and wrapping them in Christmas paper and shipping them. And that was kind of cool. People really like that. So I'll probably do that again this year. But yeah, you can totally do that. If you want it as a birthday gift and you want it shipped to somewhere else, you can always go through me. Otherwise, you can get it at Amazon.com.
And if you're looking for it on Amazon.com, you can actually go to GhostAndDemon.com and go to our online store. And it's you can find it on our online store and order it through Amazon there.
Yep.
So it's and you've got another book coming out this year.
Yes, I do. My first horror novel called Bad Apple is coming out in the fall from Vagabondage Press Books, and I'm really excited and really thrilled about this. I get to work with a very talented editor, Nanette Morges, who's also a wonderful writer, and she's been assigned to me as an editor, so I'm really, really thrilled. So we should be starting to work on that soon. That will be available on print and ebook. And for those of you who are really into ebooks and Kindles and stuff like that, Skeletons in the Swimming Hole will be available soon on ebook. It's just I've been a little slow on getting that going, but I will be doing it in the next month or so. But Bad Apple's coming out. If you're into urban exploring, if you're into ghosts, you definitely want to check out Bad Apple, especially if you really like Edgar Allan Poe. I think you'll really enjoy the book, so...
Okay, well...
Are you going to narrate it when it goes to audio tape?
I'd like to. Actually, I did put Bad Apple on CD when it was a draft. And I've been sort of laughing about that, because I'm like, you know, I could always throw that into a prize package, you know, but,
but
whoever wins the Paranormal A contest will also get a copy of the Skeletons in the Swimming Hole book trailer on DVD.
Right. So, you know, when I write my book, I want Charlie Sheen to narrate it.
Oh, God.
You go, ghost, yeah.
Actually,
I get it.
Ricky Briganti, who runs the Inside the Magic Disney podcast, which is, you know, I listen to a lot of Disney podcasts. I love his podcast. It's awesome. It's InsideTheMagic.net. Nathan does the Living with Disney segment on there once a month, which is about what it's like to live with a true Disney freak. But Ricky posted something on his Facebook today, and he was like, oh, my God, I had a nightmare that Charlie Sheen was signing autographs in the Space Mountain queue. And everybody just was going onto his page and writing, oh, dear God, that's the worst nightmare ever. And I'm like, I may never ride Space Mountain again.
Well, you know, I was out with some people this week, and they were, you know, we were out ghost hunting, and there were a lot of bushes and everything around where we were. Where we were, and somebody looked over and said, where's Charlie Sheen's machete? And I went, in a hooker.
And...
Oh. I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you for that vivid mental image that I really didn't need right now.
Christy lost me at women showing cleavage on the Space Mountain ride.
Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. Yep.
Man, I'm still on that ride.
Well, you know, one of these days I might try it. You know, why not?
Sean's going to go to Disney World now and just spend the whole time at the bottom of Splash Mountain looking up there.
Forget about the Haunted Mansion,
the,
right?
The kids are going to be going, Daddy, we want to ride another ride. Not yet. Nobody's lifted their shirt yet. Get back in.
Shut up. Damn kids. Didn't we talk about that already, kids?
Yes. But you know what? It's that time, Sean, where we got to wrap up and call an end to another Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
You think so?
I'm afraid so.
I guess we got to do it. If we got to do it, we got to do it, guys. Hey, this was your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, guys. Don't go changing everybody. You know, we won't. We love you.
Special thanks to Chrissy P, who you can check out in Skeletons in the Swimming Hole, Tales from Haunted Disney World, and coming up soon this week, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax.
Oh,
Tom Biscardi. Anatomy with a Bigfoot Hoax with Tom Biscardi. And who knows, maybe even our buddy Jim Snell will show up, Sean.
Yeah, he might. Jimmy's awesome. I love Jim. He's great.
So check it out, folks. Coming up next week, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. If you're looking for more information about Skeletons in the Swimming Hole Tales from Haunted Disney World, you can find that at www.hauntedDisneyTales.com, and you can always find out more about Chrissy P. Christy Peterson Schoonover at ChristyPetersonSchoonover.com. And join us next week when we will have another great Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax with Tom Biscardi.
Yes.
And Sean, that's it. That's it for me. I said everything I had to say.
That's it. That's it. Remember, guys, Big Feet in studio live next Sunday night on your G&D show, the way paranormal broadcasting was meant to be.
You got your line, Boo. Don't go.
I did.
Did you do your line? You did your line already?
I already did it. You blew my outro already because I said it, and then you went into this whole smack.
Well, you that's always the
okay,
last.
Okay, while you guys are doing that, I'm finishing my beer. No. So.
No. Now, wait a minute. Every
way
week,
ahead of you.
Every week, I say something, and then Sean ends with the line, and he. No, I didn't blow it. You blew it.
I had to come up with the Big Feet thing.
No,
and
you blew
that
it.
That one, too.
You blew it. You blew
Thank
it.
You.
You blew
Good night,
it.
Everybody.
You blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it.
Say goodnight to the back.